following sermon is given by a guest preacher at Dayspring Christian Church, located in Gardena, California. And our hope is changed hearts and changed lives by the Word of God. For information about Dayspring Christian Church, you can visit our website at dayspringcc.org. Enjoy the sermon.
So we're going to look at God's Word today. Specifically, at our church, we've been going through the book of Revelation. And so we're actually going to look at Revelation chapter 13 today. But the title of the message, because we're not going to cover the whole chapter, we're going to cover the title of the message is The Ultimate False Prophet. The Ultimate False Prophet. So let's pray together, and then we'll go ahead and look at the Word of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you've given us an opportunity, Lord, to gather together. I ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be the one to teach. I ask, Lord, that your name will be glorified by glorifying your Son. Prepare our hearts and minds today, Lord. Lord, I know some of us are tired, and Father, I ask that you just give us strength to be awake and alert. And Father, I know that some of us have had a long week, a long month. But Father, may we be attentive so that we may be refreshed. Father, I ask that you have grace and mercy upon us, Lord, here at Dayspring. That Lord, we will not only hear your truth, but we'll take it to heart and we'll apply it quickly. That Father, we may be blessed, and that those around us, Father, may be blessed by the gospel. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So at our church, over the last several months, we've been studying through Revelation. And specifically, we've seen how God's wrath is displayed at the end times. And in Revelation, what you have is Christ being revealed. Okay, Revelation, apocalypse, so means to reveal. And so Christ is being revealed as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay, now the first time, and I think I've mentioned this to you guys, the first time Christ came, he was an infant, a child, somebody to die on the cross, somebody who is going to be the Savior, the Messiah, to take our place, to die for our sins. The second time that Christ comes in the book of Revelation, he's coming back not as the Savior. He's coming back as judge, jury, and executioner to judge those who have rejected him. And so what happens, though, before that occurs, that Christ really comes back and begins to reign in Revelation 20, there's judgment that's being poured out on the earth. And one of the judgments is that God is going to allow a savior of the people. Okay, notice what I said. A savior of the people, specifically their choice of a savior. Okay, Christ is the true savior. Without Jesus Christ, we will not be saved. Okay? His blood, his resurrection paid for our sins allows us to be partakers of heaven. But that's not necessarily the type of savior the people want. Okay? And what happens in Revelation is that God is going to allow Satan to actually have the world's savior. There. To put it another way, a person that meets their criteria. Okay, so we're going to look not necessarily the Antichrist, because the Antichrist is a character that is important. But we're going to look specifically at the false prophet today, and specifically what false prophecy is. Okay, so let's begin here in Matthew chapter 24, verses 21 to 24. And speaking about the last days, it says this: "For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise, and listen to this, and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, and this is the crazy part, if possible, even the elect. If possible, even true believers. Now I have to mention a little of the Antichrist. The Antichrist, for the world, is the Messiah the world wants. The Messiah without the holiness of God. In fact, sadly, this is the way the world is going. You know, we want, the way the world is, they want spirituality, but without Jesus. They want worship, but not centralized on God. They want salvation, just apart from the gospel. They want spiritual truths, just don't open this book. Even in this day, sadly, I know of churches that literally, they will do a whole sermon and not one single verse is mentioned. Now sure, there are a lot of good feely good thoughts and stuff, but there's no power. And that's what we're going to look at today. The ultimate false prophet is going to present a religion without the true God. 2 Timothy 4:3 says this, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Other versions state this, that last sentence, they will find teachers who say what they want to hear. Another version says they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own liking. See, brothers and sisters, we have to be careful that when we approach God's word, when we approach a sermon, it's not for us to be entertained. It's not for us to feel necessarily fulfilled and feel good and satisfied. It's for us to know the Lord, and that is our ultimate satisfaction. Listen to this in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Okay? But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, okay, but denying its power. Avoid such people. That last phrase right there is in verse 5 is really amazing. Having the appearance of godliness. Did you just not listen to that whole list? How is it somebody has that list? A lover of self, self-absorbed, can't be appeased, isn't thankful, you know what, is brutal, not loving, without self-control, and still have an appearance of godliness. That's scary. But get this last phrase, it's so important. But denying its power. The appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Let me ask you this. What is the power of God? Romans 1:16. Some of you are familiar with this. And for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power, dunamis, dynamite type, power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. You know what the power is? It's the gospel. You know what the gospel is? A transformed life. You know what the gospel is? Being transformed from an enemy of Christ to being his child. You know what the gospel is? It's the fact that you are now no longer in your sin. These folks have an appearance of godliness, but denying its power. They have an appearance of spirituality, but have no life. See, the thing is, there's a strong temptation to change a person's actions. But the reality is, true salvation is a changed what? Heart. The people remaining during the time of the tribulation don't want to have holy lives. They just don't want to go to hell. That's all it boils down to. They believe that sin should not keep them from heaven. And this false prophet is going to promote a savior who is willing just to do that. And you know, I just want to say that, you know, rapidly we are approaching this time. I believe that even sincere and true believers are being swayed to tone down the gospel. This atmosphere of sounding correct has breached the church doors. You can hear the whispers. Oh, don't preach that. People will be offended. Folks won't come. You'll drive people away. How can we survive? Well, let me ask you this. If the Holy Spirit is in you, what does He say? In Acts chapter 20, verse 27, Paul, speaking about his duty, said, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." Is God love? Absolutely, Scripture says so. But without Jesus Christ, God is actually hate, because your sin remains. Did you catch that? God is love, absolutely, but without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God is hate to you. Why? Because your sin remains. The only tool to remove sin from man is Jesus Christ. So when you reject Christ, you reject His love. Now, so we're going to look at Revelation 13, at this ultimate false prophet. Revelation 13, verse 11 to 18. Now I'm going to admit to you that there may be some other questions that you may come up with in Revelation. You could feel free to ask me, but at the same time, too, hopefully some of our church sermons will be on podcast, so you can listen to that. But anyway, let's look at verses 11 to 18. "Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence, and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on the earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And he was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. Also, it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, that is, the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. This second beast promotes the worship of the Antichrist. Okay? And I want just an overview of Revelation, what we've just seen here. This is the third part of the Satanic Trinity. Okay? Satan attempts to replace God the Father. The Antichrist attempts to replace Jesus Christ. And the false prophet attempts to replace the Holy Spirit. Okay. So this holy trinity of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, it has this opposite, the unholy trinity, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Now the thing is that, now this is the part that's amazing. This is all part of God's plan. This is, those who reject Christ, they're not going to be doing so blindly. Okay? They'll be committed to the rejection of Jesus. Why? Because they love sin. Brothers and sisters, when you begin to talk to people who claim to know Christ, check them. Do they love sin? Check them. Because a true believer will consider sin the enemy. Not something to be coddled with. Not something to you know what? I got it tamed. It's my pet. It's the enemy. It's not something that you really even want around in your household. You want it gone. Check this out. In Revelation 13, which is, really amazing because it's talking about the Antichrist. And all who dwell, Revelation 13, 8 says this, and all who dwell on earth will worship it. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. You know what this is? You ever see that bumper sticker that says coexist? They're gonna do that. They're all gonna coexist because they're all gonna worship one, the Antichrist. Now you gotta remember, Revelation is a prophetic book. It's talking about things that will happen in the future. And as shocking as prophecy is, we must remember that this is preordained by God. God is declaring what's going to happen. According to Revelation 13:8, God's planned it that everybody left in the world, okay, with the exception of the nation of Israel, the 144,000, they're all going to be in unison worshiping the Antichrist. And you know who's going to promote it? The false prophet. Now, there's a lot of warnings in the Bible, okay, about false prophets. And so we're going to look at a few of the passages here. First off, a false prophet imitates Satan's ability to lie and twist the truth, okay? John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Brothers and sisters, a false prophet, he's going to have the ability to lie well and to twist the truth well. Okay? You ever meet somebody who's really a bad liar? You know, sometimes your kids are like, you know, hey, did you drop that? No. And it's like, oh, you dropped it, you know? But you know, when you meet a good liar, you know, when you go to the used car lot, you know? So, you know, this is a great car. Oh, this is a magnificent car. This will last till the Lord returns. Really? You know, and you pull the handle that breaks. Oh, we could fix that. So something you're not telling me. This guy's the ultimate liar. Satan is the ultimate liar, and the false prophet being an antithesis and the opposite of the Holy Spirit is going to be persuasive in promoting his lies. Now, get this though: false prophets act like holy prophets. That's part of their game. 2 Corinthians 11:15. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. False prophets act like they're holy. The next thing you need to know is that their teaching is demonically inspired. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. That is an interesting thought. The Holy Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith. They know the faith. They're going to leave it. Now, if you think this is a new thing, listen to this. way back when Moses was giving the law to Israel, the Lord warned of false teachers and prophets. All the way back in Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 through 3. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and get this, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, it actually happens. And if he says, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Even Christ warned that a false prophet would come with a very deceptive appearance, but with deadly intent. Beware, Matthew 7:15 says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Now, I don't want you to mistake this. Okay, if I had a choice between a wolf that has just finished eating, dinner's already done, and a ravenous one, I would take door number one. Why? Because I ain't the meal. For the most part, he might want to bite me and taste me, but he ain't going to want to eat me. A ravenous wolf, on the other hand, you know what's going to happen there? Your dinner. They want to kill you, devour you, eat you. Scripture says false teachers come to you in sheep's clothing, but inside, their goal is to eat and destroy you. And they look holy. They look innocent. Beware. Now, here's the thing. If you forget everything else, remember this. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to false teachers, you need to watch out for them. And one of the things you need to watch out for is this, for yourself. You do not need to like the message. You have to see if it gives life. Let me repeat that. You do not need to like the message. You have to see if it gives life. Because false prophets will be entertaining. Don't even think for a moment they won't. False prophets are going to tell you what you want to hear. Man, I feel good after that sermon. But does it give life? If you hear the word of God, sometimes the word of God, I'll be honest with you, ain't pleasant. Sometimes it's not. Word of God says, no, let no sexual immorality be in you. And you're just kind of like squirming in chair like, oh, man, that's me. Let no bitterness be in you. And you're just like, man, I know I'm angry at this person. The Word of God may say, you know what? Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And you're just thinking, man, just earlier this morning, just driving here. I don't like it. It don't feel good. It don't matter. Does it give life? If it gives life, then be aware that that is the true message. False prophets promote something that looks like it gives you life, but actually, ravenous wolves kill you, devour you, eat you. A false prophet's goal is that you remain in your sin so that you continue on to death. The words of God, they want you to be what? Have life and life to the fullest. And how is life and life to the fullest? In righteousness and holiness. Listen, Matthew 7, 13 to 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Matthew chapter 24, verse 11 says, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. Let me tell you something. Christianity is never a popularity contest. False teaching is designed to be wide open and easy. True Christianity, the true gospel, is narrow and hard. Oh man, that's not comfortable. But it's true. Look, I know, I've felt this temptation. You know who some of these people are maybe in your life. Some maybe even in this church. Oh, you know, they claim to love Jesus. But their life is totally devoid of Christ. Oh, they're here on Sunday and they could probably sing better than me. And you know what? In fact, I can guarantee this. They're probably dressed better than me. But in their heart is devoid of life. Look, false teaching is designed to be wide open and easy. So brothers and sisters, be alert. Check your feelings. Father, does this cause me to grow? Or does this cause me what? To die. So look at that. Understand that. So let's take a look at this final false teacher. Now remember that I mentioned Antichrist earlier. Well, the Antichrist is going to unite all politics and military power under Satan. This false prophet, get this, will unite all religions under Satan. Outside of true salvation through Jesus, every religion at that time will finally find their master and savior. The Antichrist. And they're going to be united, hand in hand. That's a scary thought. But they're going to be unified in the lie. You know what unifies you and me? And some of you go like, well, that's a trick question. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what doesn't unify us. I wasn't raised in your household. I wasn't even raised in this area. I didn't go to school with you. I think for the most part I'm not your age. I might not have the same hobbies as you. Some of you guys are really smart. I'm not. Some of you guys are really athletic. I'm not. You know? I've mentioned this before. I like the Raiders. Some of you don't. What unifies us? Christ, the truth. Amen? That's why you and I have a kinship. Well, in that time, in that day and age, in the tribulation, you know what's going to unify them? The lie. Wholesale, wholehearted, fully bought into. This false prophet is going to arise from the earth. And he's going to combine all these nations under this religious worship of the Antichrist. And understand this, though. This is a single person. Just like the Holy Spirit is a person, the Antichrist is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. The false prophet is a person. Jesus Christ is a person. This false prophet is a person. He's going to be smooth. At that time, he'll have the largest church in the world. Now get this, he has the appearance of two little horns, like a lamb, and that points to a subtle deceiver. He's smooth in his lies. And he appears meek and gentle. False teaching is that way. It appears smooth. Man, that first bite is smooth. Man, that guy has such a presence up there. Oh, man, did you see the way that guy moves and his charisma? False teaching appears that way. It appears to be kind, meek, and gentle. However, get this, the false prophet sounds like the dragon. He gets his authority and his sources are from Satan himself. Oh, he may speak kind and gentle words, But don't make any mistake. The praise is to Antichrist, so you remain in your sin. Verse 12 says that the false prophet exercises, in Revelation 13, it exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. This false prophet has all the authority of the Antichrist, both empowered by Satan. Antichrist will give him his authority. Okay. Now, the goal of this authority is that people will worship the Antichrist. And the reason for this worship is that the Antichrist appears to conquer death. Do you understand what the problem with sin is? You know what the problem with sin is? It says, Scripture says sin is pleasurable for a season. You know what the problem with sin is? Is you die. That's the problem with sin. So Antichrist appears to have died and rise again. So you know what? That means God is allowing Satan to give the delusion that the Antichrist can give them life. You can remain in your sin. I rose from the dead. What? What? That's the delusion. And this false prophet is going to be smooth and speak it and persuade. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, we read this earlier. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable. Unappeasable. I mean, we're there now. Oh, it's too hot. Oh, it's too cold. The sun's too bright. It's too cloudy. Unappeasable. Slanderous. Without self-control. I just felt like doing it. Brutal. Not loving good. Treacherous. Reckless. Swollen with conceit. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. They can do all these sinful things and have the power of life, according to the Antichrist. That's scary. You won't die because I rose again. No consequences to your sin. To validate this false teaching, and brothers and sisters, this is where we could take note here. God allows him to do great signs and wonders. In fact, he's able to call down fire from heaven and other signs. God has allowed Satan to do signs and wonders so that unbelievers who truly do not believe in God but love their sin will be further deceived in their deception. That's crazy. God allows false teachers to actually what? Validate their teaching. You know what, brothers and sisters? You got to be careful. Just because Dayspring is small, if the word of God is being preached here, don't be fooled by the size. Is there life here? Is the name true? That this is Dayspring, that this is life, then be proud to be part of this congregation, to love God's word. Because these false prophets, they might have the largest church on the planet. These false prophets might say the most amazing things and be on every channel on TV. They might have celebrity, quote unquote, Christians. But yet, does it promote life? The only way to promote life is to what? Kill sin. Sin kills you. I heard a phrase, be killing sin or sin will kill you. Watch it. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 10 says, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Look, the truth doesn't have to sound pleasant to you. It just has to give you life. It has to be true. Verse 14 says that by the signs that it is allowed to work, the Antichrist works these signs in the presence of the beast. It deceives those who dwell on the earth, all of them, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet live. You know, when it says that he does these signs, the indication in the original language in the Greek says that he shows these signs over and over again right before their eyes. The world will say, hey, prove it. And he's going to go, okay. Man, talk about, you know the phrase, seeing is believing. Is that actually a Christian phrase? Thomas did the opposite, didn't he? What's a Christian phrase? What? Believing is actually seeing. We walk by faith and not by sight. Don't be fooled. See, he's going to do these signs over and over again. And you know what? The world will be looking for any type of help at that time because the world is going to be in chaos. Water's going to be turning to blood. Giant meteors crashing into the earth. One third of the world's water supply is gone. People are sick. People are dying. The earth is having massive earthquakes and convulsing. You know what? And these people, they're going to look for all the help they can get. They just don't want it to come from Jesus. You know folks like that. Oh, you know, David, what do you think of this problem? You know, I got this issue. Well, you know, the Lord's word says, oh, okay, thank you, man. Hey, Kai, you know, I got this problem. What do you think is this issue? Well, you know, if you turn to 2 Timothy, you know what? That's okay. You know who they are. But you stick to your gun. You stick to your sword. This is life. This is life. Man, this is crazy, okay? Because they will be so sold on this delusion, and this is actually part of God's judgment. 2 Thessalonians 2:11 to 12 says this, just right after 2 Thessalonians 2:9 to 10, therefore God sends them a strong delusion. You know where this delusion comes from? Crazy. So that they may believe what is false. You reject the truth so much, go ahead, believe the lie then. In order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in sin and unrighteousness. Man, the false prophet convinces them to make an idol of the Antichrist, and the whole world is going to do it. Now here, verse 15. I spent a little time here on this. This fascinated me. It was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. You know, back in the day, the Lord made fun of idols. In Isaiah's, oh, you know, you carve it out of wood, and what does it do? It don't do nothing. It just sits there. You know. In fact, when I was younger, I still remember making fun of some idols. You know, I remember seeing this little Buddha and, like, you know, making sure nobody's looking at me, but I'm, like, hitting its belly. You know, what is it? It don't do nothing. You know, and you know, sometimes they put change there. I'm like, man, I could just take that. You know, but it's a sin. Don't steal. I'm not promoting that. But you know what I mean? It's dead. There ain't nothing there. But this idol's different. God allows it to speak. And you know what? We're there technologically, man. I've seen some freaky videos. There's this artificial intelligence that they've developed. You could actually have a conversation with a robot. And it'll talk back to you on its own accord. We've never in all of history been able to do that. Now, I'm not saying we're living in a tribulation, because I believe the church is gone. But the technology is there. It's crazy. I mean, this false prophet is allowed to give breath to the image of the beast. Now, the word there is not bios. It's not zoe, which is the typical, you know, biology, zoe life. It's pneuma, breath. In other words, it appears to be alive. Now, believe me, I'm not knocking this. This doesn't mean go home and sell it on eBay. But, you know, sometimes some folks come home and say, "Hi, Alexa, turn on my lights." You been in a home like that? "Alexa, play me music." I was in a home like that. It wasn't my home, but I was staying with them. And sometimes I'll be having a conversation with my wife, and all of a sudden this thing interjects. You know? And I'm like, and I'll try to play around with it. You know, "Alexa, are you from Satan?" You know, I just play around with it every once in a while, you know. It wouldn't answer me. But the thing is, this is really fascinating because guess what? This idol will be able to speak and communicate, and get this, if you don't worship, it can kill you. That was like Terminator. All right. It's really fascinating because, like I said, idols have never been able to do that. But God is allowing this strong delusion to fool the people into thinking that there is life without him. Verse 16 to 18, and the false prophet causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. That is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, I do want to state this, that there's going to be no one excluded from this worship of the Antichrist, except the 144,000, those who truly believe, right? But everybody else is going to be in complete unison. And when they take this mark, I want you to understand this. When they take this mark, it's an act of worship. It's not simply just taking it for convenience. It's an act of worship. And the Antichrist is going to seal them with his mark. Just the opposite of what God did earlier, God seals us. Right? When you come to know Christ, what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit seals you. This is going to be the opposite. You know what? The whole world is convulsing. Everything's falling apart. Well, guess what? I appeared to have died and rose again, the Antichrist says. I'm going to mark you with my seal so that you won't die. Crazy. And people are going to be like, "Oh, yeah, yeah." This mark, okay, that this person is wearing, it's actually saying, "I am dedicated and a loyal worshiper of the Antichrist." And people during the time of the tribulation know that this is God's wrath. Don't think that they're going to be fooled. "Well, gee, I don't know what this is." No, they're not going to be fooled. In fact, going back to Revelation 6, 15 to 17, this mark is not going to be taken out of ignorance. Listen to this. This is Revelation 13. So we're jumping several chapters back. Then the kings of the earth, in Revelation 6, 15 to 17, this is crazy. "Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone slave and free hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne.'" They know what's up. "And from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" God is allowing Satan to make unbelievers think that their question is being answered. Who is able to stand against the answer? Who is able to stand against the God of gods, against the wrath of the Lamb? And the Antichrist goes, "I can. I, the Antichrist, will save you from the wrath of God. You don't need to repent." If you have friends that are sitting under false teaching, try to wake them up. Because if their lives aren't being transformed, then they're dead. They may think they're godly. They may think they're right, but they're dead. Challenge them. Actually, that's your duty. Now, Like I said, this is an ultimate act of worship to take this mark. Now, this is crazy. This will connect to their daily provision. No one will be able to buy or sell except that they have the mark of the beast. Worship, get this, will be connected to the economy and politics. Food, drink, clothing, a place to stay, medical care, etc. They'll be connected to the worship of Antichrist. Now tell me something. When we get to heaven, isn't that what heaven's about? It's all connected to who? God the Father. This is the opposite. Now, I want to clarify. At this point on, I'm giving a little speculation here. It's my opinion, just like I said earlier, that there has been no other time in history where this is possible. Today it's possible. We have the technology to do just that. You know, did you know that there is a medical chip that you could actually put on yourself so that if for any reason you pass out, so a medical professional could come and scan it and get all your vitals? Did you know that? You know, there's people now that go into epileptic shock or convulsions or pass out, and they have this chip inserted so that a doctor can come and scan their arm, and it says everything they're allergic to and everything. It's available today. You could go look it up. Okay? Now get this. This is just 2017. A company in Wisconsin offered chips the size of a grain of rice for their employees to get implanted here in America. All right? And they offered the employees to get the chip for free. And so they didn't need to use security bags anymore or badges. So they could walk through the door. In fact, there's a video on Today, MSNBC Today. You know that thing? There's a video. If you want to look it up, I think it's called Chip Day. But they show this dude. Get this. They put the chip. They shoot it here. Okay? It's right here, but right here in this area. Okay? I don't know what it's called, but that area. Okay? So they shoot it in there, and they show this dude go up to the vending machine, scan a candy bar, and put his hand next to the can on the side of the machine, and it actually, he bought it. This company has this. This is 2017, people. You can look it up. And you know, they offered it for free. And you know, here's the thing. You could easily Google human microchipping, and you're going to get some fascinating articles about it. There is no other time in history that if you connect the medical with the economical, and what's the final piece? Religion. And you put it all on that chip on the forehead or the right hand, you can be controlled. I mean, can you imagine going to work and saying, "No, you know, I work here." But you don't have your chip on. Well, I'm hungry. I'm just going to the candy bar to get a machine. Mm-mm. Now, I want to clarify this, though, okay? This, at this day and age, is not connected to the worship of Antichrist. So if your company begins to do this, it doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation because you got this for your hand. Today, in this day and age. Now, it don't necessarily mean I'm recommending it. But I'm just saying, in this day and age, you're not going, "Well, you know, yeah, I want a candy bar. Go ahead." No. You know who your Savior is. You know who Jesus Christ is. Romans 8, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor technology. Okay? But at that time, when the ultimate false prophet comes, he's going to be able to say, "Well, the Antichrist is going to give you life. You just take this chip as an act of worship. Or you take this mark as an act of worship, and now you've got food, now you've got free medical. You can walk into any hotel. As long as you're worshiping me, you stay." But like I said, this isn't going to happen until the church is gone. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6-7. I'm just speculating on that part, by the way. Okay? You know what is restraining him now, that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. You know who's restraining it? The Holy Spirit. You know who's where the Holy Spirit is? He lives where? In us. When the church gets raptured, then guess what? If any of you folks are still around because you really are pretending to be a Christian, don't get the chip at that time. All right. Now this last part, the 666 part. Oh, here we go. People have always had a speculation, what's 666? You know, the Antichrist has not been revealed yet, so we don't know. And remember, John is talking about a prophecy. He says the folks in that time, they're going to know. They're going to know. They're going to be able to determine it. But the one thing we can gather is that it's going to be easily recognizable at that time. It's not necessarily recognizable at this time. And that's the nature of prophecy, guys. Before Jesus Christ came, you know, when we celebrate Christmas, before he came, can you imagine the prophet get this prophecy back and say, he will be born of a virgin? How does that work? And they could speculate. Oh, he will be hung between two thieves, but I thought he was holy. He will be buried with the rich. How does that work? He hangs between two thieves, but buried with the rich. How does that work? Prophecy in that nature, we won't recognize it, but when it occurs, we're going to go, oh, I get it now. We get it now, don't we? We know what it means to be born of a virgin, Holy Spirit conceived, right? We know what it means to be hanging between two thieves, the crosses, right? Two thieves, Jesus in the middle. Buried with the rich, we know what that means, right? He was stuck in the tomb of a rich man. We know now. Pierced on his side. We didn't understand that. Okay, I'm getting it. He hanged between two thieves, but then he was also pierced. So how did he die? We get it now. The Roman soldier pierced him. At this day and age, that number 666, at that day, they're going to know. Right now, Holy Spirit is still restraining him. Okay? One thing you do know, though, is that 6 is the number of man. 666 falls short of perfection. 7. In other words, this is the thing. No matter how amazing the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan will be, they are all part of creation. And they fall short of the ultimate who? King of kings and Lord of lords. They're all created beings. We serve what? He who has never been created. Amen? I have no doubt that the promises of God will be imitated. I mean, can you imagine even Matthew 6:33? I could see the false prophet seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I could see the false prophet go, you know what? That's a lie. You don't believe me? Look at this fool. He won't take the mark. Now, who's providing food for you now? You seek the Antichrist right here. Watch this. Come on over. The buffet line's right here. You know how it is. You know how it is when you're hungry and somebody has a hamburger in front of you. You know how hard it is not to like... You know how it is, how hard it is to not make your way to get some food in your mouth? And at that time, it's going to be like, look, here it is, here it is. All you got to do is worship him. You know, that verse is a joke. Seek first the kingdom of God. Go ahead, seek it. Gone. Check this out. This is just an act of worship. Oh, what's this? What's this? Your leg's in pain? Well, here, just take this mark. No, I don't want to. Okay, we'll fix the pain. You're gone. Over here. Oh, you know, I know you're trying to quote that verse, seek first the kingdom of God. Well, right now, I'll tell you what to seek. Your leg hurts? Come on over. We got you covered. This Antichrist, this false prophet that the Antichrist has, is going to be so persuasive to fool people. And we have to be careful of that. We have to be sober-minded and self-controlled today and stand for the gospel today. As the Holy Spirit is still here, you have the Holy Spirit. Be alert. 1 Peter 4:7 says this, "The end of all things is at hand. Be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers." Brothers and sisters, be self-controlled, be sober-minded. Hey, don't get caught up in this life, man. Don't do that, please. It ain't worth it. And you know it. That's the thing. You folks who know Christ know this. I know this. Those who are my brothers and sisters know this. We get caught up in something stupid. And then what do? We don't feel good. We end up looking a week later going, man, that was just dumb. Why did I even do that? And we repent of it and go back to life. Right? Be sober-minded, self-controlled. I'm going to close with this in 2 Peter 3:7-13. "By the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire." I find that funny. You know why? It seems to me, the whole earth seems like it's getting drier. People talk about it, don't they? It just seems that way. Yeah, we have these floods here and there, but it just seems like the sun's hotter and things like that. Listen. "By the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since," verse 11, "all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness?" Now, I'm not making this up now. "Waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." You know, during the time of the tribulation, sin and unrighteousness is going to be dwelling. I don't want to be here, man. Okay? Based on what I see in God's word, I ain't going to be here. But man, while it is today, guess what? Act like you got life. Quit running around with all these knuckleheads who are living in death. Wake up. It's not, your spirituality is not based on your bank account. Isn't that a good thing? I mean, can you imagine? Oh, you can't come in. You don't have enough. What? I mean, I don't know about you. I'm check to check, so I'm like, well, that ain't going to work. Your spirituality ain't based on your education. Now, I could say an amen to that. You know, if you guys don't know, I dropped out of college. Your spirituality is not based on your inheritance, your heritage. Amen to that. It's based on who? God's grace. The truth of God's word. Hold on to this for dear life. All right? Go back to the truth. Look, you don't have to be entertained, people. You don't have to like the message. Just make sure it gives you life. Amen? Amen? Amen. 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 I hope that's a true amen. All right? If not, you need to come talk to somebody. You need to talk to the Lord. Get it right. Get it right. Time is short. That's some scary stuff out there, man. I'm just glad I ain't going to be here. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the truth that we have. I ask, Lord, help us, help my brothers and sisters, help me, Father, to be sensitive to your Spirit's leading, to recognize when something's false and to fight against it. Help us, Father, to discern, Lord, when it's not comfortable for us, but, Lord, it gives us life. Help us, Lord, to discern when Lord, our brothers and our brothers, our sisters, our friends, our relatives that don't know you, Lord, are entrenched or entrapped by this. Help us, Father, to be brave, to speak the truth in love. Father, help us, Lord, just to be aware, Lord, of what false teaching does and be on guard. And we ask all this, Lord, in your name, dear Jesus. Amen.